This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we're speaking with Dr. Sherry Cormier, PhD, a psychologist, consultant, and public speaker. Dr. Cormier was formerly on the faculty at the University of Tennessee and West Virginia University. Her new book is called Sweet Sorrow, Finding Enduring Wholeness After Loss and Grief. Dr. Cormier, a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
Well, Eric, thanks for having me on eHealth Radio. I'm so delighted to be here.
And we're delighted to have you with us as well. Looking forward to hearing from you on today's topic, especially your book, Sweet Sorrow. Tell us, for starters, in your own life, you endured a whole series of profound losses in rapid succession. Can you talk about how you survived and moved forward? Really would appreciate hearing from you in those regards.
Well, thanks for asking me that. That's an important question because I really wrote Sweet Sorrow a decade after those series of losses began. A lot of books are written in the immediate aftermath. I wanted to wait because I did want to show readers that it is possible to survive and in fact, even thrive after really a series of heartbreaking losses. I work with bereavement groups here, and, you know, in the immediate aftermath of a loss, you are so grief-stricken that it's hard to even imagine getting up out of bed the next day. And now, 10 years later, I can look back and I can see that I have really grown. So the intensity of grief usually shifts. It never completely goes away, but it usually lessens over time. And there's a whole body of work out there, Eric, that we know about applies to grief survivors. It's called post-traumatic growth. It's pretty fascinating. We've looked at people, for example, who've lost spouses. We've looked at veterans and prisoners of war who came back from maybe multiple deployments with PTSD. We've also looked at survivors of severe injuries that left them paralyzed and disabled. And we've found that among all of these various groups, that survivors have this one thing in common that helps us survive. And that is that we all say we would not have wanted the event to happen. We wouldn't have wanted the losses to happen. We wouldn't have wanted to have been a prisoner of war or been injured or fallen off a horse and become paralyzed. We wouldn't have wanted it to happen, and yet we have been able to find some kind of meaning from the event, and that in some, I want to say, weird way, that having some catastrophic, in my case, series of loss events happen, it changes us really for the better. And I found that it changed me in some different ways. Like, for one thing, I'm so much stronger. I'm a much stronger person. Earlier today, I was speaking with someone, and she was sort of lamenting about having to handle a lot of things while her spouse is out of the country, and it's hard. And I said, and yet this will make you stronger. So it's made me stronger. I have much more spirituality in my life. I have better relationships with people, more relationships. I'm much more aware of the importance of, you know, the role of my friends and family in life. And I guess maybe the most important thing is I'm really aware of the preciousness of life. To me, life is short. It's fleeting. We don't have time for lack of civility or meanness or rudeness or unkindness or hatred. We just really need to show compassion to each other and kindness and really appreciate each other and appreciate how fragile life is and how easily it could be taken away from any of us.
So very true, and it's hit home, close to home here some recent years ago, and I really have appreciated your joining us and focusing in on this topic as well, and also lending your thoughts through your book. Much appreciated. Now, there's an interesting spiritual dimension to this book. How can considering the spirit and the afterlife help us process and understand loss?
Oh, I love it that you've asked me that too. Well, you know, I used to be very afraid of dying, and I think most of us are. I think that's a pretty common human fear. When my husband, Jay, died, and I was there with him through the whole, he was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer and died 6 months later. And so I was really on that journey with him, and of course with him, you know, the day he died. And the day he died was a very spiritual experience. Instead of it being something horrible, which I thought it would be, I anticipated that it would be, it turned out to be something very peaceful and very spiritual. And 2 weeks after he died, I started getting these dreams from him. And I found out in researching for my book, Sweet Sorrow, Eric, these are called visitation dreams. And they're really very common after someone has died in all cultures all over the world, not just the United States, for people to come back and visit us in the form of a dream. And that's why they're called visitation dreams. And what's significant about these dreams is the person shows up, and of course, usually in the visitation dream, they're very healthy. My husband was very healthy in these dreams. He didn't have cancer anymore. They usually come back with a message. He came back with many messages. I will share with your listeners a dream I had 4 months after he died. He came back, and I just would get awake in the night. His face would be right in front of me. He would be smiling. And he would say to me different things, hello, honey, or something like that. But this one night he came back, and I looked at him. I woke up, of course, and I would feel the bed vibrating, so that would also wake me up. And I said, I'm so glad to see you, honey. Why did you have to die so young? And he said two things. He said, and then I said, what is it like to die? And he said, just wait. It's genius. So that to me is very significant, because if you think about it, and I've read so much now from people who've had near-death experiences, and they all say the same thing, that they go to this place where there's light and there's love, and it feels like they're home. Every person, every near-death person we've recorded and we read about this, that's what they report. So when he said in this visitation dream, well, when you die, just wait, it's genius, that gave me great comfort, and it took away my fear of dying. So I found out, you know, through all these visitation dreams that I don't believe death is a disappearance. I think, Eric, it's more accurate to say when we lose someone precious to us through death, it's a transition, but it's not a disappearance.
And your experience through those dreams, I'm sure, was quite an amazing experience, wasn't it?
Yeah, because grief is a very isolating experience. You know, when you're grief-stricken, you feel terribly alone. And, you know, nobody else that you know is quite going through your grief journey when you are, which is why we recommend grief support groups, so you meet other people who are. But it's so isolating, and when your loved one comes back, I have a friend who last night just had a dream in which her father, who's been gone for probably 20 years, came back and visited her last night. When we get these dreams from our loved one, it feels so comforting to us and so healing, because they do give us messages, and we know that their spirit, and even though their physical body has died, that there is something that survives the physical body, like their spirit, and their spirit is coming back to visit us and to say, I'm still around you, even though you can't see me in physical form anymore.
Now, in terms of your own experience, how did what you went through inform your approach to bereavement counseling?
Well, sure. Well, the first thing that I want to tell you is my own experiences of loss were very humbling, because as a psychologist and bereavement trauma specialist, I've worked a lot with people in loss. But believe me, when it happens to you, it's just not quite the same. And that was the first thing that I learned. So one of the ways that I think it's informed my work now with bereavement survivors is I recognize that no two people grieve the same way. Everyone has their own relationship to grief. They have their own grief journey. Everyone has their own way to heal. There's some common denominators that are important, of course, in how we heal from grief. Maybe the most important of those might be social connection. We do believe that our bereavement and our sadness, that those emotions are healed best by our strong ties and connections to other people. But be that as it may, we all have an individual journey. We all have an individual timetable. No one goes through their healing from grief at quite the same pace. So one person may be in very active grief processing mode for 1 year. Someone else might be in active grief processing mode for 3 years. If you're in active grief processing mode probably for 5 years, you're probably in what we call complicated grief, which happens to about 1 out of 10 bereavement survivors. And that really does require professional treatment to resolve that. But everyone is different, and so we have common denominators that we use, like we do stress getting social connection, we stress developing a spiritual practice, we stress self-care in bereavement. That's so important. You know, watching what you eat and making sure you move your body and getting enough sleep. Those markers are so important for the brain. But at the same time, we recognize that everyone is an individual. And so to some degree, the grief journey for each of us is going to be slightly different. So we want to sort of give people general guidelines, and at the same time, we want to really honor the individuality of each individual person who's going through a grief and bereavement journey.
Today we're visiting with Dr. Sherry Cormier, PhD, a psychologist, consultant, and public speaker, and the author of her new book called Sweet Sorrow, Finding Enduring Wholeness After Loss and Grief, here on eHealth Radio's Emotional Health and Health News Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, you mentioned something called cancer's dirty little secret. Tell us, why is cancer such a difficult disease for caregivers to witness?
Yeah. Well, a big part of it is that has to do with the treatments. You know, particularly chemotherapy, which not everyone with cancer gets, but many people do. That's part of your treatment, is very toxic to the body. Well, we know that, but what I learned and didn't know is that it's also very toxic to the emotional body, to the psyche. And so people going through cancer and getting chemotherapy usually have, you know, that toxicity that you're ingesting in your body has to get expressed somehow. So we don't talk a lot about it, but there's a huge emotional effect to having cancer. You know, it's a dreaded disease. No one wants to get it. Lots of us do now. I think about 33% of the people in the United States have cancer. So it's very dreaded. It's, you know, the dirty little secret is that people who get cancer are likely to be angry. They're likely to be bereft because they think about their life being over. And in some ways, you know, when you get cancer, some part of you, I think, your life is over and you have to sort of figure out how to begin anew. And so there's a lot of emotional intensity. And as a caregiver, of course, if your person, like my person, has terminal cancer, it's like someone with a neurodegenerative disease, like dementia. You're watching that person you love deteriorate. So that's part of what makes it hard. And then I think the other aspect, real quickly, is the whole role of remission. Because very often chemotherapy will put someone in remission. And it certainly put my husband in remission. But he was in full remission and he died 7 weeks later. So remissions are, you get into this sort of sense of false hope with them. They can be very short-lived. And so we have to realize that remissions are often just a transitional point on the cancer journey, but it doesn't necessarily change the eventual outcome, which is death. So there's a lot of emotion to be managed, both for yourself as a caregiver and also with the person you love who's the patient with cancer. And I think those are the little secrets that we don't talk so much about, that we need to really get out on the table. And that's why I like having this opportunity on eHealth Network, so we can really start having these conversations more openly.
Well, Dr. Cormier, certainly has been great to have had you, have enjoyed your visit with us, and certainly we could talk for a long time on this, no doubt. But in conclusion and lastly, what are the most important steps people who have just lost a loved one to a long illness should take?
Well, if you just lost a loved one, so you're a really new grief survivor, the first thing is just take care of you. Just worry about yourself. And that's going to be a little hard to do because there's a lot of details that have to be managed. There's services, there's estate planning, there's legal issues, there's family. But really, take time to focus on you. Make yourself a priority. Don't push yourself to do anything. Don't make big decisions. That old adage about don't decide anything big for a year, that's good advice. Reach out to other people. When people ask you if they can help you, say yes, because it's, you really need all the support at that point that you can get. And again, that connection with other people is going to be really important to you, especially down the road.
Again, Dr. Cormier, thanks so much for joining us here today and spending a moment with our audience. Much appreciated. I'm sure listeners want to get further information on your book, but where could they not only get more information on Sweet Sorrow, but also get more information on you as well?
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Eric. The book is available at your favorite online with a click, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. Some libraries and bookstores have it. I have a page on Twitter and Facebook, Sherry Cormier at Sweet Sorrow Book. I'm happy to connect with your listeners there. I have a website, Sherry Cormier, author.com. And I'm also on LinkedIn.
And that certainly covers the bases. Again, Dr. Cormier, all the best, and thanks so much for spending a moment with us here today on eHealth Radio.
Eric, thanks to you and to all your listeners for having me on. I wish everyone on their healing journey with bereavement the very best.
And thank you in all regards. Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Sherry Cormier, PhD, a psychologist, consultant, and public speaker, and the author of her new book called Sweet Sorrow, Finding Enduring Wholeness After Loss and Grief. And for further details, visit SherryCormierAuthor.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.